Yesterday was opening day for health insurance exchanges across the nation. At the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District office, they had counselors on hand answering questions about enrolling in health plans, questions asked by folks like Shanna McGuire.
I found being here that everything is very simple. It's very simple online. I mean, a child could probably do it.
Maybe the whole thing seems more complicated to you, but we're ready to help today on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Claudia Lenhoff of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers and Julie Pride of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District will join me this hour to explain the exchanges. Our program starts after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. All right, now, pop quiz. Who can explain what the Affordable Care Act is? Well, that's a question that my producer, Lindsay Moon, and intern Sari Lesk asked of some folks on Green Street in Champaign yesterday, and here's some of their answers.
Good question.
I have no idea.
It will provide another means of insurance.
I'm not sure. I don't really know what it is.
As far as I know, the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is... it's a way to try and get health care to people who can't afford it, and it also lets kids about our age, they can go onto their parents' health care until they're about 25 or 26, I think it is now.
It's affordable for everyone. They made it so it's like basically anyone can get health care.
Just know that everybody is going to have to get health insurance, otherwise they're going to have to pay a fee at the end of the year for themselves as well as their children.
Affordable Care Act, from what I understand, is government health care that is currently being passed through, you know, a legislative process, and it's just government-sponsored healthcare through the taxpayer's dollar.
Well, we heard from Stephanie, Neil Preak, John, Katie Stanker, Charlie Mack, Jackie Manning, Margie Colder, and Matt Marson, and we thank them for their comments. And maybe they're not the big experts on the Affordable Care Act, but it's widely known that yesterday, October 1st, was the first day to enroll in health insurance plans through the health insurance exchanges or marketplaces set up in every state. In Illinois, the exchange is called Get Covered Illinois. They have a website. It's getcoveredillinois.gov. But today on Focus, we will bypass the website, press zero on our phones, and go straight to a live person, actually two live persons who can answer your questions about the health insurance marketplaces and how they work and who they're for. Claudia Lenhoff is back with us today. She's the executive director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. And Julie Pride is here. She's the director of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. And that is, I understand, the lead agency for a 17-county region for getting the word out about how the health insurance marketplaces work. Is that right, Julie?
Yes, that's correct. We have all of East Central Illinois.
So are you working with other agencies and instructing them on how to on what people need to know?
Yes, how it works in Illinois is the Illinois Association of Public Health Administrators received a grant, and all of the health departments in Illinois now are serving as in-person counselor sites. So Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is the lead agent for 17 of those local health departments.
Okay, well, Julie and Claudia are ready to answer your questions about the healthcare law and the health insurance exchanges or marketplaces. Our number is 1-800-222-9455. That's toll-free, 800-222-WILL. And you can also email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. And we welcome your questions on Facebook and Twitter at Focus580. I wanted to go back to those comments that we heard from people on Green Street a few minutes ago and go over some of the things that what they said. I heard one of them say that the Affordable Care Act is still working its way through the legislative process. And I know it's true that House Republicans have called to defund or delay the Affordable Care Act for individuals, but Claudia, is it still pending legislation?
No, the legislation was passed and actually went into effect in 2010. So the Affordable Care Act, since 2010, has been phasing in improvements and new protections for consumers in health in health insurance, some changes to Medicare, changes such as one of the people mentioned about allowing parents to add their children to their insurance up to age 26. So it's been implemented in phases, but it is the law and it has been passed.
Are both of you, Claudia and Julie, have you been hearing from people who are under the impression that it's still a pending bill and not the law?
No. No, I think people understand it. And when I think people really understood it was when the individual mandate was upheld in the Supreme Court. And so that was the piece that was always, you know, really concerning to mostly the Republicans in the House. But that was upheld. And that's the piece that just started yesterday.
And now the policies that are coming through the Affordable Care Act, is this essentially tax-funded health care?
To a certain extent, it is in terms of that people will be able to get subsidies to help make their insurance premiums more affordable. And we're also seeing that some of the coverage that will be made available to low-income people is through the Medicaid program, but only in states that elected to take the expanded Medicaid, such as Illinois. So to a certain extent, it is tax-funded. But I might also add that the current system is also where people don't have enough health insurance is also tax funded. It's just less direct. Some of those hidden ways that taxpayers pay for the cost of health care are just less obvious.
Yeah. Let's take an example of diabetes. If someone cannot get to the doctor because they have diabetes and they're not being able to be monitored by a physician because they don't have health care, they're not able to get insulin because they can't afford it, they can't get prescription. What happens then is that they progress on through, you know, end-stage renal disease, so they're on dialysis. That is going to be funded. It's going to be funded through the taxpayers. They're going to end up with amputations. They're going to end up possibly with blindness and all kinds of very expensive and horrid issues because of that. And that is, you know, they're getting their health care in the emergency rooms, for example. Very, very expensive way to provide primary health care.
And so what you're talking about then is not simply, say, for instance, the sort of financing you get for health care when, let's just say, I need an operation, which might be a crisis point for whatever reason, whether it was an ongoing disease or a sudden injury. But you're also talking about day-to-day and month-to-month health care, the sort of things they get just to make sure that people are in good health and maybe take some preventive measures to stay in good health.
Correct. And another example would be vaccinations. You know, if people can't afford to get vaccinated and then they get the flu or they get pneumonia, those are – or pertussis or any of the other vaccine-preventable diseases. Those are very expensive to treat. They can cause a lot of time off work. They can cause a lot of problems and, indeed, sometimes death. And, again, it's a simple thing. We have a lot of preventative care out there, but people need to be able to access it. And certainly primary health care is very preventative.
The law that's in place now we know it's meant to allow more people to get health care who were not able to get it before. But do we expect it to be affordable enough and accessible enough to reach 100% of Americans?
Well, it will not reach 100% of Americans. Some people just will not be able to do it. But it should be very, very affordable for a huge majority of those Americans for whom previously it has been unaffordable. And right now, one of the ways that the health insurance will be made affordable is by allowing people to qualify and enroll in the Medicaid insurance program. And some people may not know this, but with Medicaid, you don't have to pay a monthly premium. And so if you have a very low income, you will be able to get Medicaid insurance and not have to worry about a deductible or a monthly premium. That's extremely affordable. Other people whose incomes will be above the Medicaid range will be able to apply for private health insurance plans. And if they have incomes up to 400% of the federal poverty level, and I can give some examples of what that is, but if they have incomes up to that level, they'll be able to get subsidies to help make their premiums affordable. For a single individual, a household of one, just as an example, 400% of the federal poverty level is about $45,960. So somebody who earns that amount or less will qualify for a premium or for a tax subsidy to help make their premiums affordable. Just as another example, a family of four at 400% of the federal poverty level, that's a household income of $94,200.
People usually assume that $94,000 a year, even for a family of four, is not financially strained.
Yes. I mean, these are fairly generous income levels, but we're asking people to carry health insurance and add to it. And there are, for those individuals, there will be, you know, monthly premiums that they will be paying. There will be out-of-pocket costs. And again, the emphasis, as Julie said, is to get people covered and get them in the habit of going and getting their preventive care and their primary care. And ultimately, that will help keep costs low. But yes, this is making insurance more affordable than it has ever been. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the reason that we had 45 and 50 million uninsured Americans when this law was passed was because most of those Americans could not afford health insurance either through their employer or in the individual market. And the other thing is that pre-existing conditions were counted against them, held against them, so that in trying to get a health insurance plan, they were either denied coverage or it was made completely unaffordable to them, or the coverage for that health condition was carved out. And that will no longer be true in 2014.
Now, that's interesting. I understand that part of the math for making this work, in order that, say, people with pre-existing conditions who can be expected to have more problems on the whole, in order to make that work, you just have to have more people covered under health insurance policies in general. And one part of that is getting more young people who tend not to do that sort of thing covered. And of the folks we talked to in Green Street that you heard earlier in the show, one of them did say that one thing that's already in effect is that young people can stay with their family's health care until they're 26. That is correct.
That is correct. And that was a huge improvement. In the past, a lot of family health insurance plans would allow a young adult on the parents' policy into their early 20s, but it was frequently conditional on that the young adult be a student and that they not be married and so on. And what the Affordable Care Act did is it expanded that coverage up to age 26, got rid of the requirement that that young person be a student, and also even allowed married young adults to be on their parents' health insurance. And that resulted in millions of more Americans, young Americans, getting insurance coverage. And insurance coverage for young people is so important. One, for the reason that you stated, that it expands, you know, the risk pool and contributes healthy people to the insurance risk pool. But for those individuals, it's especially important because the majority of accidents and those kinds of things that lead to catastrophic healthcare needs happen among younger people. So while they are generally physically healthier, they tend to be more prone to auto accidents and those sorts of things.
Now, that was the carrot, I think. There's also a stick aspect, and that is that sometime in the future, and I'm counting on you to know the date, this law will require just about everyone to get insurance or to fall under a particular category where there would be an exemption, or else pay some sort of fee or fine. That's what I heard in among the Green Street people we talked to. Is that true?
Yes, there's the individual mandate, and there's a tax penalty if you do not get coverage. I don't remember how much of the year in 2014 you have to go uncovered to get the penalty, but the penalty in the first year is $95 for a single individual. And one of the things that I think is really important is a lot of people will be hearing about that penalty and it'll sound very cheap, you know, so it's a very small stick right now in the beginning. But I think it's really important for people to not make the assumption that the penalty is a better way out, a more affordable way out. I think a lot of young people, a lot of people who haven't been able to afford health insurance will be pleasantly surprised about how affordable it is in the marketplace. And I would just really encourage everybody to explore that before they decide to take the penalty. And the last thing that I will say about that is $95 for an individual might sound like a cheap way out, but if you're one of the people who ends up needing health care and you're not covered, healthcare is very, very expensive, and you might end up getting stuck with a much bigger bill than your health insurance for an entire year would have cost.
Well, this is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act and the rollout of the health insurance exchanges in Illinois. Julie Pride with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District and Claudia Lenoff with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers are both here to answer your questions, and you can call in your questions toll-free at 1-800-222-9455, or email your question to will-talk, W-I-L-L-talk, at illinois.edu. The phone number again, 1-800-222-WILL. And I think I wanted to go now back to the idea of these insurance exchanges or marketplaces. They just opened up, and they're not a physical place in that there's not really some sort of health insurance bazaar I can go down to at the town square and talk to a bunch of insurance agents about the available policies. But how do you do it? I mean, first of all, you can apparently do it online. Can you do it on the phone if you're not really happy
about
it?
You can do it on the phone. There's an 800 number, well, 866 number now for that. It's 866-311-1119. That's the number to call for Get Covered Illinois. But if you go online to getcoveredillinois.gov, what you're going to find once you get through, you know, if you are sorted into the health insurance marketplace, what you're going to find is something similar to, let's say, an Expedia or a Priceline or something like that, where you go to compare tickets for a vacation or a hotel or a car rental or whatever. So what you're going to do is go there, and then you're going to see the different choices of plans, and you're going to be able to decide which one works the best for you. It will talk about out-of-pocket costs. It will talk about deductibles. It will talk about premiums. And you'll see what type of subsidy you may get to qualify for that. And that's how you'll make your decision. So there's not actual a place, nor is this government health care, which I find an interesting thing that people continue to call this. What this is private health insurance. If you're on the marketplace side, it's private health insurance through a private plan. Locally, Health Alliance is a plan. Blue Cross Blue Shield has a plan. Aetna has a plan. There's a whole bunch of different places that have plans. What they are doing is trying to come up with the best plan at the most affordable price so that people will choose that plan. And you may have noticed that you've never seen, I think you mentioned earlier, you don't see a lot of ads for health insurance. You will start to see those now because they now have a motivation to do that.
And now you have people who are answering questions. They're not working for insurance companies. They're doing work
correct
for you, but they're also working as part of the Affordable Health Care Act guidelines. Are they the there's two terms I've seen as far as people working on this: navigators and assisters.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people you have working, do they fill either of those roles?
Yes. How it has been explained to me, and believe me, we've been working on trying to get this clarified forever. In Illinois, we received a grant that's a state grant.
That's
so
you, the health district.
Correct. So we are called in-person counselors. That's the same thing. You can call it a navigator or an assister. If we were funded through the federal government, we would be a navigator. But no one helps them pick out the plan. No one says, hey, this is a better plan than this one. You should get this one. What the counselors are there to do is to explain the terms that they may not understand and to help them figure out which one works better for them. If this one has an out-of-pocket expense that is this, and this one doesn't, but this one has, you know, high deductibles, and this one has, you know. So it's to kind of help them look at the ones that are available and to talk to them about what works out best for them, and then the individuals make the decisions.
So your people, your in-person counselors are seeing people. Some of them are actually coming to the public health district office up there on Kenyon Road?
Yes. Oh, yes. We had about 30 different people signed up yesterday. And it was taking about anywhere from, you know, an hour to 2 hours. It started out, if they went to the Medicaid side, it was, you know, much easier because the state site was working well. But yes.
So some of them do that. Some of them are calling on the phone. Are some of them being routed to you by that Get Covered Illinois toll-free number?
I'm not sure. We don't know if that's the case. But what I think is happening, it would happen, is if somebody said, I need more help than you can give me over the phone, then they would probably refer them to a local site, whether it was our site, Claudia's site, PACE.
Regional planning,
Campaign for Better Healthcare. So we try to, you know, get people in so that they can get answered, their questions answered face to face.
I'm sorry, Claudia, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that when people look to enroll and to explore their options, even though there is a call-in number, I do think that there's really a value to sitting down in front of the computer, whether that's at home or coming to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District or one of the other agencies that has people available to help. Because, as Julie said, it really is so much easier to understand what your options are when you can see them side by side and be able to see the way that the information is organized. It's just a lot to take in and try to decipher over the phone. If somebody doesn't have any other options but to call in, they should, of course, do that. But otherwise, we really encourage people to either use their own computer or get to one of these sites or one of the libraries so that they can look at their options on the computer.
And we have had a few people who did use the 800 number to start with, and they said that exactly that. It's very difficult to do it on there, and so then they ended up coming in.
Now, last night I went on the Get Covered Illinois website and essentially pretended to be me without health insurance. Mm-hmm. I am an employee through WILL, the University of Illinois, and I have health care benefits through that. So I am not the sort of person that would usually be using one of the health insurance exchanges. But if I were, I went through the website and answered the questions, and then I found myself ending up on the federal healthcare.gov website, where there was a wait to mm-hmm. get to anything. And at that point I left. I felt like I was holding up the line even further for someone who wasn't really shopping for insurance. But is that what people have to put up with at this point of the game, day two of the process, that eventually they'll end up, if they just want to look at policies, they will end up on the federal website and there may be a backlog?
That's probably the case. And again, I think that speaks volumes to how needed this was or is. What happens is, you know, the computer website is being overwhelmed because people from 34 states, I believe, are using the federal site. So it is very, very popular. People are trying to get in there and get this information. Day one is always going to be the toughest. Day two, a little less clogged. Day three, you know, so as you go out, and you have till December 15th to enroll if you want your coverage to start on January 1st, which I think most people do. So, there's going to be a little lag time at the beginning. This morning I logged on, went through the system, and found that there was about 27-minute wait before I was able to get on. But that's the beauty of, you know, doing it on the computer, too. You can certainly sit there and do something else while you're waiting for their website to come up.
It's a little, it's not as bad as waiting in line somewhere, I guess.
Right.
Exactly.
And one other thing I wanted to mention, although through the marketplace there are these delays and glitches with the website, however, if somebody goes into Get Covered Illinois and when they go into the Get Started portion, if they end up being moved over to the Medicaid program because their income is low enough for them to qualify for Medicaid, they will actually go to the state's website called ABE, and that is actually working very well. And people were able to enroll yesterday in the new Medicaid within typically about 30 minutes or so.
If you want to email a question for Julie and Claudia to take on concerning the Affordable Health Care Act and the health insurance exchanges, our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And we have one of those questions. Actually, And this is a fairly specific question, but she is asking it two different ways, sort of a general way, and then really her particular situation. So I'll give you both versions. If a U.S. citizen lives only 10 weeks of the year in the U.S. for work, but works in another country the rest of the year, do they have to sign up for health care? And then she asks this, I think it's the same question a different way. I have not had health care in the U.S. since 1992. I am out of the country from November through the end of January. Will I be penalized for the month of January if I don't start my health plan until I return?
No. No. I don't remember the specifics, but you really need to be residing in the U.S. In order to go into the marketplace and to have the mandate, the individual mandate. But the other thing is that the individual mandate, the penalty for that does not start on month one and go through 12 months. There's a little bit of leeway. Somebody who's in the U.S. this little is not going to be subject to that.
And I believe you have until March to sign up before there is any penalty.
But if a person is also planning on being in the country only on January of 2015, when things are when more parts of the Affordable Care Act are in effect, is anything going to happen then?
I don't think so. I would assume that this individual has access to health care or health coverage wherever they spend the majority of their time. And, I mean, if they're in the U.S. for 1 month out of the year and something happens and they need to get health care, they may have to face out-of-pocket costs for that health care. But, no, they will not be mandated to have this coverage.
Can you get emergency health insurance for 1 month out of the year? For a specific country, that is?
Yes, I believe that there are policies. I mean, you wouldn't get that policy through the marketplace. But yes, I believe that there are policies that are short-term health insurance policies. They do tend to be catastrophic. So that would be for the emergency situation. And I know people get those policies when they travel out of the U.S. to go to other countries. And I assume that there's policies like that for in the U.S.
Well, it's time for a short break, and we will be back in a moment with more on the healthcare law and the new health insurance marketplaces here on Focus on WYLL. We're back with a healthcare law edition of Focus on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows, and my guests can answer your questions on the Affordable Care Law and the new health insurance exchanges or marketplaces, which have been set up in Illinois running as of yesterday. Claudia Lenoff is here from Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, and Julie Pride is here from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, where they have trained counselors answering people's questions about the healthcare law and about the health insurance exchanges. You can call us with your questions. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455, or you can email us at wyll-talk@illinois.edu. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Focus580. The phone number again, 1-800-222-WILL. And Claudia, I was wondering maybe we could step back and look at who is the person that that really needs to be looking at these healthcare exchanges or marketplaces and making these decisions. Because I understand for some people, it pretty much should be the, you know, just stay as you are.
Yes. Basically, the people who can shop in the marketplace or who should shop in the marketplace are uninsured individuals. People who already have individual health insurance plans may want to explore their options in the marketplace and see if they can get something more affordable and something maybe with the premium subsidies in
the
marketplace.
So if you do have insurance on your own,
yes,
there might be a better deal that you qualify for waiting for you.
Absolutely. Because especially on your own right now, you're not getting a subsidy to make your insurance affordable. So if you're under 400% of the federal poverty level, it will be worth your while to look in the marketplace. People who purchase dependent coverage through their employer health insurance might also want to consider shopping for health insurance for their dependents in the marketplace, especially if their employer does not help share the cost of that dependent coverage, they may find more affordable options in the marketplace. people who have COBRA insurance right now. So that's when somebody leaves their job but continues their health insurance, but they are now responsible for the full premium of that health insurance. They may find more affordable options in the marketplace. People who are self-employed but with no employees, they're basically having to try to find an individual plan. Of course, families, there will be some small businesses who will be able to shop in the marketplace for the small businesses. And basically, people, in order to go to the marketplace, they must be legal U.S. citizens, residents, or lawfully present in the U.S.
Okay, so maybe just for a chance at reduction, let's list this from the point of view of the people who really don't have to, really shouldn't be thinking about the marketplace.
Right. People who have Medicare will not shop in the marketplace.
You're already covered. Okay.
You're already covered, and you already know how to go through that process. You also cannot get Medicare supplement plans in the marketplace. The marketplace is not for people with Medicare. It is not for people who already have Medicaid coverage. It is not for people who have good, affordable insurance through their employer. And affordable is defined by the federal government as that it should not cost more than 9.5% of your income.
9.5%.
Yes. So if you have an employer-based plan and it's really, really expensive and it doesn't provide, you know, sort of minimum coverage, and if it's costing you more than 9.5% of your income, then you can actually go to the marketplace. But that's going to be very few individuals.
Let's go to a phone call, and this is line one. Ray from Effingham, good morning. You're on Focus.
Good morning. My main question is, for those of us who don't own a computer and wouldn't know how to use one at a library, how can we get help in person, or how do we access it?
The best way to do that would be to go to your local health department.
Okay.
All the local health departments in Illinois have received funding to have trained in-person counselors. Now, in Effingham, you may want to call ahead and find out what their hours are and when they'll be ready to do this. So just give them a call.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we have an emailed message in saying from Tony in Champaign, who has been listening to our competitor. And we can say it, WDWS Radio broadcasts a very popular talk show just about now called Penny for Your Thoughts. And he writes that there are a lot of people complaining about having to pay much more for their health insurance with the Affordable Care Act. Tony asks, do you know if that's a common result of the ACA, of the Affordable Care Act? Is the cost going to go up from what they might be paying otherwise?
Well, yesterday on Penny for Your Thoughts, I know Jeff Ingram, who is the CEO of Health Alliance, was on Penny for Your Thoughts and was saying that now, because of the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies have to provide coverage of essential health benefits. In other words, they have to provide certain kinds of coverage and do more. And because of that, many health insurance companies are raising their premiums. So some people may hear that as a justification for increasing premiums. However, within the marketplace, premiums will actually be more affordable than they've ever been. And the other thing is that insurance companies can no longer deny anybody or charge differently because of pre-existing conditions. I think ultimately over time, we should see health insurance premiums stabilize and stop this, what I've seen to be this very rapid increase. I guess one of the comments that I want to make about that is, you know, right now people are blaming the Affordable Care Act for the increase in premiums by insurance companies. But before the Affordable Care Act was implemented, we at Champaign County Healthcare Consumers had 1 year where we had a 30% increase in our premiums for no good reason that I could see, except for that the insurance company could do that. And there weren't some of the protections in the insurance that there are now under the Affordable Care Act. So I think people should just be cautious about making those attributions. And I would just say there's probably never really been a time when insurance companies did not raise their premiums to some extent from 1 year to the next.
Correct. And I have to agree with Claudia. You know, Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is a large employer. We have 125 people who work there, 125 employees. And our insurance has gone up and up and up and up. I've worked there for 17 years. It's always gone up. And there was simply no Affordable Care Act. So, you know, I find that argument a little bit, a little bit suspect because it's always gone up. So, you know, it's people like to blame it on something. And this seems to be a good scapegoat because people don't want to take the time to understand it. But the fact is, like Claudia said, this should make competition between the healthcare plans that should make better plans at lower cost. And there is also the new rule in there that insurance companies need to put 80% back into healthcare, 80% of premiums. Well, gee, that makes sense to me. I mean, I don't see that that is a problem. I would like to, you know, see that happen because we're paying all this money and it's certainly not going, like you said, sometimes it was just arbitrary, it seemed, that it would go up. There was no good justification. So.
And part of what you're talking about is the medical loss ratio rule, where insurance companies have to dedicate 80 to 85% of the premium dollars to actually paying for health services received by the members. And if they do not do that, they have to refund a portion of the premiums. And so last year, millions of Americans actually, for the first time ever, got a refund check from some of their health insurance companies.
That must have been an interesting experience.
Yeah.
Julie, I wanted to go back to our discussion with Ray from Effingham. And a moment ago, let's make sure you said Ray should contact the health department in Effingham or Effingham County and that there should be counselors. Did you say that they might not be available?
Yes. I would call all the health departments because, you know, Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is a bigger health department. We have more staff and we were able to be ready on time. Some of the places, you know, with the training we have to go through, just let me tell you what an in-person counselor has to go through. The online training exam, then two-day face-to-face training, fingerprinting, background checks, registration with the Department of Insurance, and then now at kind of the 11th hour, a federal training that was thrown in there that takes 20 hours online.
So is there sort of a backlog in getting enough trained counselors ready and up and running?
It is. And, you know, some of the health departments are smaller, so they're not going to have as many people there. So it's just a good idea. I mean, I can tell you for sure that at CUPHD, you can come in any of the hours we're open. You know, come in from 8:30 to 4:30 is a good time to come in, but there'll be someone there to help you.
And
the smaller health departments you need to check with first.
And for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, are you serving people just from Champaign-Urbana or from all of Champaign County or anywhere beyond that?
Pretty much anyone who walks in. It's been people from Champaign County so far. But, you know, if somebody would want to come down there, I suppose they could. I don't know.
Maybe somebody who, for their convenience, they may live out of the county, mm-hmm. but commute to work in Champaign County.
Yes, that would be fine.
Could you help them?
Yes, we could.
They came in on their lunch hour or something?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and
I hope they have a long lunch hour.
Well, we'll just hope for the best. And line one, Joan from Champaign, good morning. You're on Focus.
Hi, I have a question. Say I'm 75 years old and I'm not eligible for Medicare. Am I in any way eligible for the Affordable Care system? Am I going to be penalized if I don't have insurance? Where do I fit into all of this?
That's a great question and a relatively unusual situation, but we have dealt with it before. And yes, you would be able to shop through the marketplace. If you are not eligible for Medicare for whatever reason, you would be able to shop through the marketplace. And as far as the individual mandate and the penalty, I'm not sure if that would apply to you. I would assume so, but I'm not entirely sure. But I think you might have new opportunities to find good affordable health insurance now through the marketplace.
Okay, thank you. And then I just have a question perhaps for public health. If I drop back several years off my 75 years, and if I come over to enroll through you people and I have an hour wait or something and I've got small kids hanging on my skirt, do you have any way to take care of children if I bring them with me?
Well, I can tell you that we have, you know, thousands and thousands of kids in our lobbies all the time. We have a very child-friendly facility any child who comes in leaves with a free book. We have bookshelves for them to play with, coloring tables. So while we do not have an actual, you know, child care facility in there, we do have a kid-friendly place and lots of ways to keep them entertained while you're doing that.
Okay, so don't stay home because of that. Okay,
don't stay home. And pretty soon you'll be able to take a bus out to our facility.
Oh. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joan. And I had a question coming in from Steve, and let's see if I followed this right. He went to the healthcare.gov website and entered his zip code, and that bounced him to another website. And I'm not quite sure what happened there, but his question is, what is the actual website that Illinois residents should expect to see if they want insurance? Why are we going to the different sites? And excuse me while I refine my copy there, why not just have one site for everything?
Well, the marketplaces, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, states had the option of setting up their own marketplace for their own state that would be solely run through their state. And some states have done that. So they have a unique website for that state. There were a lot of states who opted to do what's called a partnership exchange or a partnership marketplace. And that means that the state is working in partnership with the federal government. And that's why right now, if you go to the Illinois Marketplace website, Get Covered Illinois, when you're going to look at health plans in the marketplace, you'll probably end up in the healthcare.gov website because that's run by the federal government and that's where the health plans are organized. I don't know if down the road if there'll be less of that bouncing around from one to the other and you'll just stay and get covered. I'm really not sure. But Illinois is a partnership state with the federal government, and that's why you end up seeing the federal government website unless you qualify for Medicaid and then you stay. You get put within the ABE website, it's called, for the state of Illinois to make your Medicaid application.
And that's why the best place to start is getcoveredillinois.gov.
Getcoveredillinois.gov if you're in Illinois. Now, I understand for Indiana, it's a little different. It apparently seems to be a federally run thing over there.
Right.
So I don't know if you would go to an Indiana website address or we'd just go
you
to...
You would just go to healthcare.gov. And there's a section, I think, on the left towards the bottom of that website where when you're looking for plans, it asks you to choose a state. And then you choose what state you're in, and it puts you in the right place for your state.
This is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Still time for your questions about the health insurance exchanges. Questions that can get answers from Claudia Lenoff and Julie Pride. Our phone number, 1-800-222-9455, 1-800-222-WILL. I'm going to line two now. Lori and Muhammad, good morning. You're on Focus.
Hi. I'm calling actually for someone else who doesn't have a computer, and I thought I might be able to help her a little bit. It's basically a situation where there's a mom and a dad and two kids. They get their insurance through the dad. Because of underemployment, often much of the paycheck goes just for the insurance, which isn't so great. I honestly think they might qualify for this Medicaid expansion, which is like, what, under $32,000 a year, $1,000 a year for their income, I think. Because he gets it through his employer, can he go to this marketplace or can only the mom and the dependents perhaps go? And if they do qualify for this Medicaid expansion type of insurance, did you say something about you don't have to pay premiums or something per month?
That's right. If you get Medicaid coverage, you do not pay monthly premiums. All you pay are some very low copays out
okay.
of pocket.
Okay.
For this family, that's a really, really good question about the family. I would definitely encourage them to go to the marketplace and at the very least to look for dependent coverage for the children and the spouse.
Right.
It is possible that the... that it's the father who has a health insurance
right,
from
right.
work. It is possible that depending on what that plan looks like and what proportion of the household income that is, that he also would be able to go through the marketplace and possibly Medicaid and get his health insurance that way. Employers have two obligations when they're making health insurance available to their employees. One is that the health plan has to sort of meet minimum coverage standards.
Okay.
And in the marketplace, that would be the equivalent of a bronze plan.
Okay.
And a bronze plan is designed to cover, on average, about 60% of medical costs.
Okay.
So if this is sort of more of a catastrophic health plan, it would not meet that criteria. The second criteria that an employer plan should meet is that it's affordable, and therefore that it's less than 9.5% of that household's income. If it's not affordable to the individual or to the family, then they do have the option of going through the marketplace, possibly qualifying for Medicaid, possibly qualifying for private plans with insurance subsidies. And for this family, it may be really worthwhile. I think it's great that you're trying to help them, and you may be able to figure it out once the websites are working.
Right.
But it might be worthwhile to come and sit with a in-person counselor at Public Health or one of the other places. And for somebody who does have health insurance, one of the documents that they will need to have with them when they go to apply is they will need to have their policy number, their insurance information, and employers are obligated to provide employees with a form that tells them the information they need.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. I'm going to go quickly. We're getting in the last few moments of the program, but Ron, I understand that first off, good morning. You're on Focus. I understand you received a pretty hefty increase in the renewal price for your health care plan.
Yes, I received it yesterday in the mail. I haven't read through everything, but it's supposed, from what I understand, a comparable plan from basically roughly $800 to $1,250 for a couple age 52.
Is this a plan that you've been buying on your own?
Yes, I'm a self-employed individual.
Okay, and that's, I'm wondering, in a situation like that, first of all, are we seeing these sort of increases? Is this just what happens in the market, or is it just something that is happening partially in response to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think it's happening, number one, because insurance companies can do it, and they're using the Affordable Care Act as a reason for raising rates. And but I think one of the things that they're also hoping to do is to sort of lock people in to these individual plans rather than have people who have the option go and explore in the marketplace. And
I mean the health insurance exchanges.
Yes. I think people who have been purchasing individual plans, they're getting information now from their health insurance offering the new plan and trying to get you to commit to it and enroll in it. And I think one of the things that I would really just want to emphasize about that is you can go ahead and do that from now through the end of the year, but still go to the marketplace and see what your options are, and you might be surprised. You know, you might be able to qualify for a plan that's fairly similar, but also get the premium tax credits to help make the insurance premiums more affordable each month. If you do enroll in an individual plan, there is usually a way that you can get out of it rather than staying in for the whole 12 months. And the same is true for small group plans. Employers can enroll in small group plans, and normally that's for a 12-month period, but they can actually get out if they need to earlier than that and go get health insurance elsewhere.
Now, I'm wondering, we did have somebody from Health Alliance on our air this morning and yesterday afternoon, and they talked a little bit about the policies they're offering. And they did say that, well, I gather there are certain things they must provide under the Affordable Care Act,
mm-hmm.
that in some ways their policies would be more restrictive than what they were offering and offering through other channels. That's just to make them work, they said, financially. Can someone expect some restrictions in some areas?
There may be some restrictions. There may be some sort of ancillary things that were offered that are no longer offered. But in the marketplace, people will also be able to purchase some standalone add-on plans. So all of the health plans now have to cover 10 essential health benefits, and these include outpatient emergency services as well, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health, prescription drugs, rehabilitative and habilitative services and devices, lab services, preventive and wellness services, which I know Julia is all about, and mm-hmm. so am I, and pediatric services. Services outside of that, such as for adults, dental services or vision may need to be purchased as standalone insurance plans if somebody wants to get that kind of coverage. But the important thing to know is that at least all of the plans will cover all of these 10 essential health benefits. So when you're comparing plans, you're really looking at apples to apples.
Here's my final question, and we only really have about 30 seconds for this one. But so I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here. We are in the middle of a whole lot of politicking going on about the federal government shutdown. And that shutdown is over opposition to the Affordable Care Act. And there's a big push trying to either defund that act or to delay its implementation for individuals by a year. Those are the last proposals I heard. Is there any chance, whatever way the political winds blows, that what started yesterday could be disrupted somehow? And what do people do then if they've gotten a policy on the exchange or are thinking of doing so?
I don't expect it to be disrupted. And I think it's so disrespectful to do this. The elections were held. People voted. The outcome was determined. And the Affordable Care Act has already actually been implemented, started in 2014. It's just what's being implemented now is the marketplace portion of the Affordable Care Act.
And the beauty of it is federal government shuts down occasionally. Federal government has shut down. Local government never sleeps. We're open. CUPHD is open. People can come in and sign up for the Affordable Care Act now.
Well, we are out of time. If you're buying insurance through the Get Covered Illinois program, you have until March 31st of 2014 to get covered. Policies can begin to take effect on January 1st. We'll be returning to this topic in the months to come. Thank you very much, Claudia Lenoff of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers and Julie Pride of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. This is Focus on WYLL.